Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity. Peculiarity. Irregularity. Inconsistency. Incongruity. A rarity.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast, one of the oldest, longest-running geek girl shows on the interwebs. If you love sci-fi, fantasy, geek topics, but enjoy a bit of muggle entertainment too, you're in the right place. You're an anomaly, and this is your clan. I hope you've had an opportunity to listen to the coverage of the convention that we went to last week. There are currently three episodes below this one that we recorded at our booth at Wizard World Austin 2017. We talked about meeting Felicia Day, Nichelle Nichols, Jason Momoa, and a lot more, so check them out. Today's episode is all about the fall finale of Star Trek Discovery. I know there's some holdouts because of the CBS All Access app. To tell you the truth, it colored Angela and I's excitement for this show as well, but you can sign up for the free trial, watch them all, and if it doesn't trip your trigger, cancel. But I have a feeling that you're going to get hooked. I think you're going to like it. Anyway, there will be spoilers in this review of episode 8 and 9. We talk about all the things, so please watch those two episodes before proceeding. We don't want to ruin it for you. Stick around at the end and I'll tell you what to expect next for Anomaly and how to get in touch with us.
Shields up! Red alert! Spoilers decloaking off the starboard bow.
Yeah. That was a warning. This is day three of Austin Comic Con, and we thought we would take the opportunity while the doors have not opened yet. It's still kind of quiet. It's just vendors right now. But we thought we'd take the opportunity to talk about the fall finale of Star Trek Discovery, especially since we have Rico with us.
Yep.
Hello. Hello.
And we were going to have Noah on, but he has not finished yet, so we're just leaving him out.
Yes, he hasn't arrived yet, so we thought this is a good opportunity to talk about it and not spoil it for him.
Yeah,
so.
Did he say he's watched some of it?
Yeah, he's two episodes. He just left. Needs to watch those last two episodes.
Okay.
So I'm super excited. I feel like the show has gone, like it was...
Where no man has gone before?
Dirt, yes. No, I mean, like it started off, I was so skeptical and I was kind of lukewarm about it and I was trying to give it a chance. But I'm feeling pretty good about the last couple of episodes. And it feels more Star Trek-y. It is interesting. And I don't know, what is y'all's general review?
Yeah, no, I agree completely. I think every episode for me at least has made it more...
Better, yeah.
Intriguing, yeah. More interesting. And I think I was telling one of you sometime, I've lost track of time, but just like, the show. But... I think that this show has sort of grabbed me quicker than, you know, other Star Trek shows.
Sure.
I think because of the intensity,
yeah,
you know, the
drama.
The war, you know,
yeah.
Things blowing up, people dying, you know,
yeah.
Spoiler alert, you know, whatever.
Well, that's kind of like a writing hook, is to hook the reader right away with action.
Yeah.
And it kind of drags them along, like, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? And that's the way this is designed. It's not...
Well, yeah.
It's an overarching...
Serial. Yeah, the serial nature.
Yeah, that's a big point, is the, you know, like, mm-hmm. the original
the
TNG,
government.
Pretty much, you know, DS9, not so much, but earlier Star Treks were not...
Not serial. It was all monster.
Long story, which...
Yeah.
If you have a serial type... It should become more like, I really want to know what happens next.
Yes.
Or else they're doing something wrong.
Yes.
So.
Well, we should say, we should warn people that the spoilers will be spoiling.
If we say the word Star Trek Discovery, that's your spoiler
alert. We're
going
to spoil.
Isn't it funny that it's STD is the...
Oh, I was going to say
it's
that.
It's not, though.
Of course you
it's
would.
Not. It's not. It's not, though. There's two points why it's not. First
okay,
off,
go ahead.
They don't... There isn't any other... Star Trek series that they've used Star Trek as the first two letters. That's one.
Okay.
Plus, we've already got, you know, a little bit of that with their disco shirts.
I like
that. So you just short it to DIS, or either DIS or DSC.
Yeah, I ordered Angela and I those
Yay!
T-shirts. We'll be getting them in December.
I'm very excited
about
that.
Yeah, me too. I am too. You know, when I first saw it, it was like, disco. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so they're just kind of telling the fans, this is how you want to abbreviate the show.
Yeah.
I think it's a little funny, though, because it's like, oh, they couldn't put three more letters. The replicator couldn't replicate three more letters. I that's just me joking around, but, you know,
yeah.
It is kind of...
It's cute.
It's cute. I have to believe that, though, if disco wasn't a thing... They would have never done that, right? It would have just said Discovery on the.
Yeah, it works on a couple of different levels. I'm cool.
I hope they do some comment to that at some point. Like somebody makes a comment. Yeah, I'm walking around, you know, like I'm in the 1970s, you know, with my disco shirt on. Yeah.
So the episode, what did we think about it?
Yeah.
It's a two-part. It was two-part.
Yeah.
What's the title of the show?
Oh,
they have the weirdest, longest
titles. They have
titles.
The coolest titles.
They're cool.
And they're very meaningful titles, I think. I mean,
they've had one word titles that mean probably
and then
something to
really
like,
long titles.
It's a long sentence. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't remember what they are, but they're very cool. So we join our heroes.
So the second to the last episode was the one on the planet, correct?
Yes. Yeah. We're gonna go to the planet.
Yeah.
And
with the little whatever they are.
Which is cool because we haven't been on the planet, on planets. We haven't had
and
a way
that was
team.
An amazing looking episode.
Yeah,
y'all.
It was.
Great.
Yeah.
Also, I like it because that episode is when I really started feeling like more Star Trek because, first of all, the way team, the situation. And then also, you had this like super technical, funky solution to a problem. And it's like the Futurama references, like putting too much air in a balloon. It's like, it's so simple, of course. Here we have, we're going to just do the thing and the thing and the, and then we're going to be able to see the cloak device and great. And then
just
we're going to be
plug
done.
It into the,
just
the plug,
plug
it
in.
Into this little thing here. Yeah.
Yeah. We're just going to plug it in. And it's like, as the one thing I like about Star Trek is that that's something that we accept because that's always happens on Star Trek. Like, okay, sure, great.
Yeah. You just do the thingamajig to the whatchamacallit
and then cross
it with the flux capacitor. Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, sure.
There's polarity on the shield.
Yes.
You know,
all the thing. Anyway, so
just
I
a different
love
frequency
that.
Of the shield or, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was interesting to see Saru, what happened to him.
Yeah, he kind of went wonky.
He kind of went bonkers, kind of like Spock with the spores.
Yeah, and I thought at first that the spores were controlling him, but no, that was just his reaction after feeling comfort
and peace.
Peace and no anxiety for the first time in a long time. And he's like this.
They were maybe not controlling him, but they were certainly, there was an influence.
Well,
right?
But I don't know that was the intention.
Right. Their active, their
you mean the spores' intention?
No, the spores weren't controlling him at all.
Right.
It was just the
they were giving him a sense of well-being.
The interaction between them, him getting that sense of well-being, his reaction to that was just...
He didn't want to lose it.
Right.
It was like heroin.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like that or like somebody being in pain forever by something.
Yeah.
And just being like, he kind of described that when he was in the sickbay at the end, right? Like, I was in constant fear always and I wasn't. Right?
And
he says something like that to burn
him.
Had,
right. And then he had never experienced not having fear and having experienced that for the first time. So it's also an interesting commentary, too, because I would hope that most of us have had times in our lives we haven't had to feel fear or anxiety. And so to think of a species, it's such a subtle thing, but thinking of a species whose whole life is fear is, it's just an interesting commentary, I think. And then it makes you kind of turn in. This is what Star Trek should be doing. It should be making you turn in and think about some of the things in your world. And I liked that message.
Yeah.
But he did kind of get a little angry. And Jim, this was funny because when Jim and I were watching it, they had made the mention about how fast he could run and stuff or how fast he could go. And Jim was like, towards the end of the episode, we're going to see him running, I bet. I bet we get to see him running. Are we going to see him running, Angela? And I'm
of
like,
course.
I bet we see him running. And then we're like, look at him go.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome. Pretty, they were like, I'm stronger, I'm faster, and so forth, because I'm prey or whatever.
Right, so he like runs like a cheetah.
I don't think I've seen his legs and feet before this episode.
Yeah,
and
with
it's
the hooves.
He has, this interesting kind of like foot that a horse or a
hooves.
Or can, yeah.
Yep.
Well, not the hooves itself,
like
but just
weight
slopes
in. Like part
of a
galloping,
in.
Yeah, like yeah. horse yeah. on two legs.
Right.
That's
yeah.
an interesting design.
Yeah.
You know, the idea is it evolved to let them escape
right.
predators, right?
right, so, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
The better, if you were faster and had better hooves,
right.
then you could get away from them.
Is yeah. this episode the first half of the season finale?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about. And then the other thing that was weird, because we talked about this a little bit when we were chatting, is that there was also some disconnect things because they made this really big deal about how Saru was affected, and it's before they really kind of explained it. Then Tyler all of a sudden was able to be transported by the spores. Like, that just seemed very... because they all had to be in the same place to be transported. And then he was like, suddenly the spores like brought him. I don't know, that seemed kind of out of nowhere. You didn't get the impression that that was an ability that they had. But I guess it doesn't matter. I mean...
did they bring him? Wait a second. I've only watched it once. I don't think they did.
They were fighting and she was trying to use the thing. And then like all of a sudden the spores kind of... not the spores, that's the wrong thing. The planet sort of... just brought him
yeah.
across.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
The forest, okay. And it was very like oh, yeah. okay. I guess I didn't get the impression that that was possible, but I guess it is. So
yeah.
here we go. You know.
Yeah. So we're gonna talk about. You want to talk about the very last
yeah.
one now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So that so, it was oh, pretty. What did you call it yesterday, Angela? Badass. Or?
It was pretty badass. Okay. So this is the thing. First of all, we didn't think talk about the very end. Is so the whole point was using that. Transmitter
the spear or the spike
to be able yeah. to see the cloaking device, but mm-hmm. then once the planet interacted with everyone, they basically decided that the best thing to do would be to bring the Klingons in and have them together and have them not, I don't think they did not mean any harm, but they just sent out a signal for the Klingons to come so that they could maybe, you know, the planet's thinking, okay, we need to work out a peaceful solution.
Yeah.
Obviously, that was not... we knew that's not going to happen.
It's so, the Picard planet.
It's the Picard planet,
it's
right?
It's kind of like the... When the super, you know, whatever...
It's like they're more highly evolved in
yeah.
a way. And so they're like, just fix it. Work this out.
Yeah.
And
it's
so,
like the ones that brought
people.
The Gorn
people.
And... like the ones that brought the Gorn and the Kirk together.
Yes.
In a way, the same idea. Yeah. Like, okay, you guys are kind of fighting.
Yeah.
We'll just bring you together and make you work it out.
Right. Okay, kinda. So... and
or make you fight.
So then we start with... that's where this episode starts. The season or the fall finale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, things are going very interestingly. We're getting more information about Stamets. Did we talk about Stamets and the thing with Tilly? Was that a different... episode?
Oh, I think that was the beginning of that episode.
Yeah,
and
where
he's starting to feel the effects of this, you know, technology being integrated into his body.
DNA, yeah.
And DNA, and it's like...
he's seeing the future, we think.
It's messing him up.
It is messing him up.
Although,
big
in a way,
time.
Maybe it's an advantage, or they're learning, or that's going to be helpful, possibly, maybe.
The other part is that, like, if I can throw a wrench in... you know, the whole point was they wanted to find someone who could, you know, when they did this kind of Hail Mary pass so they could let the tardigrade go, the whole point was, you know, inject the DNA and then just somebody who knows what he's getting into. Well, why? There had to be more than one person on that ship that would be willing to submit to that. You
I
know?
Think because he's
and
so close to the whole
well,
process.
I realize that, but the thing is, yeah. is that, like, it was not good for the tardigrade. It's obviously not going to be good for Stamets, and they could tell that. I mean, they scream every time they go in there.
Yeah.
So it's not like they didn't know it wasn't going to do something. So why not like spread it out?
Let other people.
And there's probably people like because this has been going on now for a couple months. So why didn't they get someone else to like help share the burden?
Yeah, that's a bit of a. I thought the same thing. To me, it falls into the TV
yes, it's
trope
like,
of like we can't just have a line of people. Even though Lorca would probably be like right with you, Angela, and say like we need like a dozen other
yeah,
people ready
dozen
to
other
do this
people
in
ready
case
to do
you
it.
Don't make it
right,
or something
because
happens.
Yeah. There's one point of failure.
Right. He's basically a critical component on the ship now. So.
Right, and it's not like they're Voyager and they're like so far away from everything and they can't, you know,
yeah.
sacrifice anyone else.
You got to kind of like that. Let that one, you know.
No,
whatever.
I know. I mean, I realize it's like the episode of TNG where they went to Starfleet and like Troy is nowhere because the whole point of the episode is that everybody's lying. And Troy's not in that episode.
So no one knows.
So it's like, oh, where's Troy? She's on vacation and visiting her mom or something. And so the whole episode like would have been fixed like in 5 minutes.
You're lying. You're not lying.
Because Troy would have been like, yeah, everybody's lying. So let's go home.
Yeah. I thought the same thing ever since they got Stamets to do that.
Yeah.
That like, well, boy, they need a backup, at least a couple people.
Well,
or
maybe
something.
They will eventually, but sure. This is probably.
And they never used some line. They never threw a line out, right? Like saying like he had some special like genetic connection. I'm trying to remember if they ever like said something like that, or because he knew about the spore drive.
I'm gonna make a guess here.
Go ahead.
It's because his he already had a intimate knowledge of how that stuff was working because he'd been, you know, it's part of his
research.
And so once he just made the decision to just plug himself into it, they're like, okay, wait, we need to make sure that this isn't going to affect anyone badly. So I bet they just want to isolate who it is
that
is, because they have no idea how it's going to affect him.
Yeah, and he did it voluntarily.
They made a point out of saying it was basically against Starfleet
regulations. Right, exactly.
Right?
That's the other thing.
He genetically modified himself.
They're going to be in big trouble when they get back. So
well, they're in big trouble
like,
for about 100 things.
Yeah. Or a whole bunch of things. But they're just trying to limit the damage.
So the next thing now is that they decide that, so they have to battle, they have to do something. And so they decide another tricky technobabble solution.
You mean do something to protect the planet from the Klingons.
Planet from the Klingons, and also to
protect themselves.
Protect themselves.
And the Federation and Starfleet.
Right. And then, you know, the little trick where he's like, well, we're not going to jump back right away. We're going to go to warp and then come back. So technically we're following orders.
Vulcan
orders. Guy, the Admiral, the new Admiral, because the other one's like, well, we'll get to that. But
Yeah.
He says, no, you got to come back. And he's like, probably not. We'll come back slow.
Yeah. So anyway, that works out. And then they come up with this awesome, ridiculous plan where they're going to go put these sensors inside the Klingon ship. And then they're going to do all these jumps. And that was the stuff that was badass. So first of all, and Jim's so funny because he's not as Star Trek as me. So he looks at it slightly different. And he's like, yeah, that's a way to stay hidden, is put this big glowing thing in the middle of the cargo bay. Nobody's going to see that.
I thought that shot, though, of them warping and then engaging the spore drive at the same time, that was so awesome.
Oh, my gosh. It was so awesome. I was like,
I'm kicking out.
Yeah, it was very, very,
but
very well done.
That was just like the tip of the iceberg when it came to geek awesomeness, because then they programmed all these jumps. How many jumps?
133.
And it was to attack the Klingon vessel. It was like zip, 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 zip. Like they could not.
Well, it was to read. Well, it was
and they were
to
reading.
Sort of attack
and
defense,
reading.
But it was mostly because they needed, Saru says
That's
they need
right.
all these different points.
Right.
To whatever, figure out
scan
how they can
the
scan
Klingons
through the
cloaking device.
Yeah.
Right.
Get their frequency.
The frequency. And then they were able to, so then the Klingons thought they were cloaked, and then they were able to
I thought of it as like almost like a positioning navigation thing.
Right.
Like they can pick up a little something. They've always, with cloaks,
or like radar,
they can always pick up a little something, but it's never enough to really pinpoint where the ship is.
Right.
But if you do it enough times, like triangulate.
Yeah.
133 times
right.
or whatever, then they know, okay, that's the frequency or whatever. They're right there.
Right.
Shoot.
Yeah, but Michael and Tyler are on the
oh, right, right.
ship
this
while
is
this
important.
Is going down. And I can't remember, how were they able to beam over?
They decloaked, and there was a brief bit
moment
that they didn't have their shields up
because
it's a power drain.
And they were masking their human signature.
Yeah, they were masking their human signature.
Right.
But then after they did the first one, they went by and they found the Admiral.
Yes.
Right? They found her, and then that was a very weird. Then some weird stuff started going down.
She seems like she's pretty injured. They find her, right? Because they read a human life sign.
Right.
Cornwall. Admiral Cornwall.
And, and then basically they find her. They've planted, how many sensors did they have to plant? Three?
Just two?
Yeah,
one on the bridge and one.
One down in the engineering
or whatever.
Down in
engineering or cargo.
So they get the one planted, then they make their way and they read the human sign. They go find the Admiral. Tyler, at that point, by then he's freaking out, right? He's kind of having like.
He's got PTSD, which I was wondering.
They
said
that they were going. They said they were going to do that. Like, I've seen that they were going to address the PTSD.
I think that just killed any of those dumb theories about him being the albino king.
I don't know. I'm still.
Unless he's been totally, like, brainwashed and to believe is, what he is.
Is let me put it this way, though. So. If you were the albino Klingon and you just had a bunch of surgery and were tortured, that would also give you PTSD. Yeah.
But
they know the Federation has telepaths, for example. So they would be concerned that maybe they did make him like completely believe who he was. You know, the idea of the sleeper agents that have been like basically programmed. Well,
there's even an episode where Geordi does that.
But right. Who did that? Because
the woman, the Klingon woman, there's something going on with her.
Okay. She's, yeah.
And so, also, okay, go ahead.
He goes in, he has this episode where it's post-traumatic stress syndrome. It was triggered when he saw her because she's the one that
tortured him.
And
yeah, he just collapses basically then. And then Burnham runs off to do the bridge one while he kind of stays there to protect the Admiral, who seems like she's like paralyzed from like the waist down or something. She can't move really.
Not good. But don't worry, they have good medicine, Star Trek. It's fine.
Everybody has an implant or
everybody's
cybernetic thing. Yeah.
Not worried.
It's funny though. I mean, it wasn't funny. It was cool how she was able to talk him down.
Yes.
Because she'd been through, they have this a bond now because she's been tortured.
Well, she's
too,
also a trained psychologist or something that. She tells that to Lorca when she basically realizes he's messed up.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. She's
sleeping with a phaser under your pillow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they get through that. Burnham goes and then, you know, fast forward, engages
Cole. Is his name.
Yeah.
Well, they have that cool translator, universal translator.
Oh, yeah,
she's
that's
listening
cool,
to
showing.
Everything that they're saying. So she's spying as well as...
I do love how they're
right?
showing how the universal translator works.
Yes.
In that way, because, you know, back in the day, it's just, well, you know, everyone's speaking English. We have a universal translator.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Anyway, everybody's speaking English, and then it's like we explain it by, universal translator. Well, now they're showing, okay, this is like how it works. So I like how they showed that, you know, him talking.
Yeah.
And then you hear it, but then you hear it again, and it's like, oh, okay.
They never spent that kind of time in like the network versions of Star Trek series.
Well,
they probably didn't have the budget or the time.
Right. They just had a device in the original series that did it. And they showed that.
But they just said that it did it.
And then, but they actually...
Oh, okay.
In the one episode that it really comes into play where there's this creature called a companion living on this planet with a guy, Spock actually builds the thing.
Oh, okay, cool.
So that's a history. And then if you remember in the early TNG episodes, there are a few episodes
where they
say, just keep talking. The computer will, and their comm badges are supposed to be working with.
Yes, okay,
and
that's
there was a
true.
Couple where they pick up an alien and they're like, just keep talking. And the more you talk, the computer and the comm badges will translate it to us.
Oh, yeah, I just mean like, I always wondered, like, how that was working. Like, is there an implant that is, like, translating in their head? Or is, like, because I like to hear the translation.
I've always thought it just says
audibly,
it out
loud.
Yeah, and it doesn't, on the shows, it looks more like they kind of take a little bit of a leap with that, where the person, you could, the audio you see coming out of, you feel like it's out of their mouth.
Speaking English.
Not really out of your comm
badge. Interesting, what I was thinking during that scene was, oh my gosh, this is going to get her discovered because she's listening to the translation and it's like they're speaking just on the other side of the bridge.
Yeah.
But it's like, that would give them away. They need like earbuds or something.
I do think, though, that it was amazing.
Get some Bluetooth earbuds discovery.
Like, for a second, I was like, okay, she needs to stay hidden. But then, like, that moment where she decides just to be like, screw it, like, I'm just going to do this. And you're all right.
Wasn't there, I don't know if it was before she leaps out and basically starts shooting, but some of it had to do with the comm badge thing. Does she not see him holding a comm badge? Isn't that the trigger, kind of?
Yeah, it's Georgia's.
A little bit. I mean, she learns about it eventually, right?
But something he says, I can't remember.
I took this from your whatever. Right?
Yeah, but whatever he was saying,
she
needed to interact to delay.
Oh, right, yeah. She did that to delay so that they could finish getting
the scans.
Coordinates. And so she just kept going.
Yeah, because once they engaged it, they still had to do their 130
jumps, like 5 minutes.
Then
after the jumps, it took like 5 minutes to...
Compute it.
And so she was just buying as much time as possible.
Let's fight.
So she fought. And that was really cool, though. I mean, I liked that she, and it is, I also like that she brought up what some of us have been thinking about the Klingon honor system.
Yes.
Because a lot of us, the disconnect has been like these guys, like the thing about Klingons is that
they've
always been brutal. They've always been brutal, but there is an honor system in that brutality, at least with each other. And so seeing her go, well, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Aren't you supposed to be honorable? This is not honorable.
And that, and the Kol guy, I mean, he's killed other Klingon, like, heads of houses.
Yeah,
you know?
he's a terrible
person. He's not honorable, basically.
Yeah, he's not honorable by a human or a Klingon standard.
Right.
And so that's really interesting. And then...
But she kind of hit him with that.
She did.
In his face.
She did. And and that's kind of what we need. We wanted to hear that.
Yep.
We wanted to hear the show admit that. You know, and say, okay, well, we're addressing it. At least now it's being addressed. So the other part, too, is so they do get off the ship, and she does, like, you know, the, you know, when she leaps and then beams out.
Yeah, that
cool.
was cool.
And then the.
Yeah, she grabs the badge as it's falling, or he throws it, or something happens.
Yes.
She grabs the badge.
She rips it off of
him. She rips it off of him.
Before she falls.
And then she falls, and
then she jumps to get out of the way of.
And the female Klingon torturer chick. Somehow leaps.
On.
She leaps a transport. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, the real question that we're all thinking is, what is going on now?
Yeah.
So they talk him in, you know, we've had the setup about the different universes now and the jumps, and then Stamets
says... Well, don't forget the ship blew up, too.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Thank
death
you.
Ship.
The death ship.
Yeah, I mean, Cole's
main.
Dead, basically.
Cole's
unless,
dead.
Unless somehow anyone got off that ship. But,
they died.
Yeah,
or,
I mean, once they got the frequency, they just blasted them with everything,
yep,
and they had no shield, so they're gone.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Which was surprising to me. I thought, like, oh, okay, now who's in charge of the Klingons? There's nobody
left.
But
that's good, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes more sense instead of having the super overpowered. That's what I was complaining about, is that... But
we
now
have to get
have
on
her.
Equal footing with them, or else
or
they
else
can't
it doesn't make
finish
sense.
The war. Right.
And the cloaking technology, but they've been giving it to all the other Klingons, right? Have they done that yet?
They've done to some of them.
Yeah, they did.
But,
yeah,
okay.
But it's no
still
good anymore. Unless they
forward.
Change it, it's no good to them anymore. Once
right.
they pass on that data to the other ships, it won't help them.
Yeah, so. I know. I just mean how many other ships. I couldn't remember.
There's not a lot of other ships left, I don't think. But
so there's still a huge step forward, though, for the Starfleet. But then what happens right before the end is we've set up that there's all, you know, Lorca is talking about the different universes and Stamets is talking about these things that he's experiencing. And so we're looking at different dimensions, parallel dimensions, the dark matter, all of that funky network or whatever.
Yep.
We still don't know what Lorca's deal is. And that's part of the mystery of the show.
Well, he typed something into his pad at the end.
But also at the same time, not just the PTSD, but something's going on with that Klingon. That they have because all of this is happening. So like, there's something going on with her, and it's not just between her and Tyler. There's something weird happening because
you don't know if she's whose side she's really on,
or who really. Or what she is, who or what she
right.
is.
Possibly, right?
Maybe she's not a Klingon.
Maybe she's not a Klingon. Exactly. So who knows in any of this? Because and she even said something. I can't remember what she said, but she even said something kind of suspicious. And then that's when they did the jump, and then it. If it's an incomplete jump or it was coordinates. And the thing is that the way Lorca reacted, there's a couple of things. One is his reaction meant that he was just as surprised as everybody else, or he was feigning surprise because he did exactly what he was meaning to do, or the other option is that he meant to interfere, but it didn't go...
The way he thought or wanted.
And so he did do something, but he genuinely doesn't know where they are either.
I like option three. I think something he wanted to go somewhere, change something, and it didn't quite go right. Stamets either was too much of a push for him, or whatever happened, something interfered, and then they're like, okay, now we're here. Where are we? No one knows. They're all, you know, he asked, where is it? No one knows where we are. So.
Right. Okay, so now let's speculate wildly.
Well, what happened with Tyler and the Klingon when he came to visit her in the cell?
Yeah.
Because
she seems to know something.
Sort of falls apart again, basically.
Yeah.
But
right?
what if she might be a time traveler? What if she's a time traveler?
That could be.
I hope not. but...
Or she's like another race,
right,
disguised as a Klingon.
I've thought with her, because...
Maybe she's Romulan, and you don't see her yet. She's stirring the pot.
I think she's working her way with what happened on the original Klingon leader guy. What was that guy's name?
The albino Klingon.
The first one that gets killed in like the first, second episode. That bothered her, that hurt her.
Right.
And I think she's basically playing a situation to...
I don't like Cole.
I'll get the Federation and Starfleet to kill him. And
right.
I think she's just working angles
she's
to
working
get the Klingons
angles.
To where she wants.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think, I think the ship, I don't think they know where they are.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think anyone knows. I think that they're in another dimension in a different location.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
So, because there could have been anything. I think what happened was that Stamets was fatigued from all the multiple jumps, and it wasn't Lorca, the program. I think he couldn't do it anymore. So.
Well, I mean, I think if they had just gone to Earth, like the idea was, you know, he says, all right, I'll do one more jump.
Yeah.
Lorca kind of offers him, like, we'll just warp back to Earth. And Stamets says, no, I can do one more jump back to Earth. I do think by Lorca doing whatever he did, push... I think if they
But he didn't
Earth,
say Earth, he said home. That's the thing.
Well, that's
I've
right.
Seen
Sorry,
people.
Not Earth.
That's
they were going to go to Starbase something for
yeah,
repairs, 41, 42.
And he's like, let's go home.
Yeah.
And they're like,
Yeah, so I think they were ordered to go to a Starbase originally
right.
by the Admiral to regroup with the rest of the fleet, I think.
Right.
So, but not Earth, right?
Right. But the
I think Stamets got pushed.
Right. Yeah, but know. I think my wild speculation is that it's possible. This is not, I've not read this anywhere. This is just me, whatever. What if Lorca is trying to get back to his home dimension? Because he's not really from this dimension. Or the dimension we're currently in, like that we've been watching, is not any, it's not prime, it's not the
right,
universe.
Right, we're assuming.
And that maybe we just jumped into
our known
what
timeline.
What we know
from TNG.
As our timeline,
yeah,
like
TOS,
from TOS TNG.
Oh.
I mean, it's a wild speculation, but I'm just putting it. You know, it's interesting.
And all of a sudden, all the other Starfleet ships they'll run into all have gold and,
yeah,
and
exactly.
blue and red uniforms.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
They've commented a few things. I mean, one comment has been made that as the season goes on, they're going to make it, they're going to connect the eras better somehow.
Yeah, kind of like Rogue One.
Yeah.
Whether that's a universe thing or we're going to start seeing other ships more, I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, I think they're somewhere else. I was talking to Joe and Chris on texting the other day about it, and you know there was a Jonathan Frakes who supposedly is directing an episode, and
he's directed several episodes, I think,
and he has said that they're going to end up in the quote unquote mirror universe.
Okay. Oh yeah, he's said the word mirror universe several
right.
times.
Right. And I still say that. Well, I mean, that changes things because when Kirk first visited it, at least unless this never gets reported back to
like
Starfleet,
they're stuck there
officially,
forever.
Right, but
they would have had knowledge of the mirror universe before.
But also, there's so much on Discovery that we shouldn't know. There's so much on Discovery.
True.
That is a black ops. Put it in the ground. You know.
Right.
Salt
so
the
so
earth.
if basically this is all not common, like it doesn't get put in the good old official
right.
Starfleet record,
right?
Then all bets are off, right? Then they can do anything they want.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good point. Yeah. If it's a very hush hush. Super secret mission.
And then they need Lorca because all the people in the mirror universe that are usually good captains in Starfleet are all jerk faces like Lorca, so he kind of, he works. I mean, he works in the mirror universe quite well. He just needs a beard now.
And we need more crop shirts.
Yes.
We need more crop shirts for the ladies.
So we want to wrap it up a little? Or
yeah,
where
yeah.
are we at?
Yeah, we need to wrap it up.
The con starting.
It. Yeah, we got the con starting. Yeah.
It's like there are people here. But comes back
in
January 8th,
yeah.
I think, like the first,
second
the second
Sunday.
Yeah, because the first one is the January 1st. They wouldn't do it on New Year's Day.
They would not.
So the 8th, yeah, it comes back.
Yep.
It's exciting.
It is. So
it's only 6 more episodes for the season.
Mm-hmm.
They did a little more in the first half, they showed us, than the second. So
it's
that's a good way
good
to do
so
it.
It's going good so far.
Probably.
I like it.
So yeah. If you have any crazy fan theories or if you want to let us know what you thought of the episodes, you can contact us at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks@gmail.com. You can send memos that way, you know, record with your smart devices. You can send emails or you can call our voicemail line at 432. I hope you enjoy these deep dives into Star Trek Discovery. Thank you to those who've written in recently regarding our previous Discovery chats. When we return with a regular Anomaly episode, we'll read and reply to each and every email on the show. Next week, you can look forward to hearing a panel I attended featuring Felicia Day. I even got a chance to ask her a question. If you like panels, be sure to look in our feed for the Gates McFadden Marina Sirtis panel, as well as the panel with LeVar Burton, Michael Dorn, Brent Spiner, Jonathan Frakes, and one with Samwise Gamgee himself, Sean Astin. If your podcast app doesn't go back that far, you can search for those at anomalypodcast.com or look for links in the show notes for this episode and in the Felicia Day episode. We also have a video coming soon to YouTube and Vimeo covering all the goings-on at Wizard World Austin. You can subscribe to our YouTube and Vimeo channels or to our website at anomalypodcast.com so you don't miss that episode. They're just too long and too huge to put in our feed, so I think they always turn out better when they're on YouTube and Vimeo and places like that because then you can enjoy them with full resolution. You can subscribe to the Anomaly Podcast just about everywhere, but the easiest way to do that is through the Overcast or Stitcher apps. You can also find us on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and a ton of other places. If you want to ask a question or make a comment, you can record a memo on your smartphone or write a message and email it to girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks@gmail.com. You can also call our voicemail line at 432-363-4742, or you can email us through our website at anomalypodcast.com. That's anomalypodcast.com. If you're able and willing to help us make more Anomaly episodes, please share this and other episodes with your friends and consider a small monthly donation. Everything we receive goes back into the show to make it better and increase the quality and the number of episodes. You can find a donate button on the homepage under the episode slider. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon. I'm Jen.
And I'm Angela.
I'm Rico.
And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge. Boom.